Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning right here at 11 o'clock on Atlanta's Business Radio, Biz 1190. Glad you're here. We have a great guest today. Bill Hare. Bill is the vice president and the managing partner of Travel, Inc. out of Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to Driven to Business, Bill.
Hey, good to be with you.
Bill, you and I, in terms of full disclosure here, you and I just shared a trip together over to Israel, and I've also been to Russia with you on a trip, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about not only that trip, but just about the business of travel in general. But to start off with, just tell us about your company, what you guys do, how folks can reach you and all that.
Well, Travel Inc. American Express, and we are a affiliate of American Express. We actually are a full-service travel agency based in Nashville, Tennessee, but we have both associates and customers all over the country, and in point of fact, sometimes all over the world. Our 800 number here is 1-800-821-4671, and I always invite anybody to give me a call. But honestly, we do a lot of corporate, and that's our bread and butter of our business. And then we do a lot of leisure, and we do a lot of high-end leisure travel. And then we do groups, and my loves is the groups and the meetings area that we do, where we actually organize for a lot of different nonprofits. They're meetings that they handle once, twice, three times a year, as well as we've just gotten into a business called association management. And that is a certain group of size of organization that may not be at an executive director level, but we also provide total administrative support for them, both accounting, phone answering, etc. So we're very mirrored in this whole field of travel, and it's been a wonderful place to be these years.
Bill, how did traveling start? How did you guys start?
Well, actually, we bought a little agency that at the time was doing about $300,000 in sales and was on its way out. And to be honest with you, when we looked at opening an agency, because I'd had some experience more in the group area, and honestly, what happened, we took them over, and I'm proud to report this last year, we did about $170 million in sales.
Wow.
So it's been an interesting ride over these last 20 years.
That is a major, you're a major travel company doing that kind of billings in travel. I'm sure you know that. That puts you probably up in the top, I don't know the percentage, but certainly in the very top percentage of travel providers here in the United States.
Well, we actually are number 50 according to the Travel Weekly survey, who keeps the statistics on that. But, you know, even when you talk about being big, the reality is you're only as good as your people and your last transaction.
Right. Exactly. Hey, I want to talk about the travel business kind of or industry at large, but being as I just participated in a trip with you, I thought I'd talk about that a little bit because I was kind of impressed. Well, not kind of. I was very impressed with the ways that you guys did it. You know, we had a group of about 300, which the logistics of that, the challenges of that have got to be just incredible. Talk to us a little bit about how in the world you organize a trip like that.
Well, I think number one is we've got a lot of experienced people here. And because of that, and, you know, every time you do a trip of that size, and we do actually a big conference of 1,500 every year,
wow,
we actually go back and we evaluate. And we just completed the evaluation of this trip of 300 of what we can do better and how it can be actually run better and how from a front-end user, they just see it just happening magically because that is our real goal. Is to make participants feel like, you know, all the stuff is just happening and we're just enjoying our time here together. But I really do think it's about learning from the past. You know what? There are always going to be some mistakes you make and some things you do better, but it's really institutionalizing that and learning from that that makes the biggest difference. And I think that was a success as we took a group of people into the Holy Lands and got through some very tough times that we're going through right now,
right.
You know, but it's a matter of thinking ahead And I have a saying that we work by. We plan the work and work the plan, and if there's an adaptation, we make it for the next time, not this time, because we're really maniacally focused on what we have agreed that we're all going to do with our suppliers, with our customers, and making it happen.
Well, as a customer and just sort of as a business observer, one of the things I do appreciate about the way you guys do things is you communicate very clearly any changes, any disruptions in the plans, and make sure that all of us knew, you know, when we're supposed to be leaving in the morning, and if you're supposed to have your bags outside at a certain time, that you knew how to do that, and you know, it's those little things like that. I think that give a comfort level to anybody in the group. You know, I'm used to traveling sort of on my own, which you sort of just make it up as you go. But when you're part of a large group, and it's important that you're not the one holding up the bus or screwing up all the works here by, because you don't know what to do, it's very comforting that you guys would give us those pieces of paper or just tell us in a large group, hey, we've been a small change here. We've got a, you know, instead of leaving at this time, we're going to leave at this time, and you need to do this, that, the other. And I was very impressed with the fact that how organized Bill and how you guys do communicate very well in those situations.
Well, if you're a regular traveler, which you are, you understand that the worst thing you can do is not give people information. Even if it's bad news, they'd rather have the bad news than they would have no news at
Absolutely.
All. And so I think the customers that we've dealt with over the years, and actually am working with a customer still that I worked with before we started the agency. And you know, it's a matter of when you made a mistake, saying you made a mistake and saying we're going to regroup. But yeah, I think that happened, in fact, with our group on last night when we were doing our farewell dinner. We handed out a piece of paper that was in error, and we just admitted we had an error, and here's how we're going to adapt to it. So I think it's a matter of, and I appreciate that with any business I work with, is just tell me the truth. And if the truth hurts, then I'd rather know about it now than I would be to try to second guess it later. And we have really used that as a philosophy. And I'm pretty transparent about those things.
You know, we have a saying in our business that we have all told each other over the years is that, you know, that mainly it's that bad news does not improve with age. It's not like fine wine or something. You know, it needs to be given out immediately. It is not going to get better.
That is exactly right. I would agree with that. You know, it's also about us anticipating where we think there's going to be a problem before there is a problem, and seeing how we can remedy to make it happen. And you know, I tell you, when I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but I will. The biggest problem that you've got with a group of this size is with anything is where they're going to eat and where they're going to go to the bathroom. Because that's two big major things you have to work with.
You're exactly right. And speaking of that, my wife was with Vicky was with us on this trip. We were super impressed. When I'm traveling somewhere, I have a fairly large family. When I'm traveling with my family, we're trying to find some place to eat. We have a hard time even with our family. But somehow you would find these places to eat that you could put 300 people into, and it just would amaze me in the middle of nowhere. How you pull that off is beyond me, but that's incredible you pull that off.
Well, we're just lucky. I mean, the infrastructure in certain arenas of the world, both from a facilities-wise and a cost-wise, is such that with this group, I think the longest we were at a luncheon was about an hour and a half, and there were times when we were doing an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Part of it is you just have to, you know, you have to plan it, you have to put it in, you have to cost it in. And for us, the fact is that those are those hidden costs that a lot of people don't put in that we throw in because it just makes for a much more smooth operational tour. And again, I think that's the experience of the team that I've got in place, and as we look at the different possibilities here.
You know, I think the planning you put into that is very obvious in the fact just the number of where we were eating and all that. But, you know, even that, I think also, and perhaps people haven't taken part in a large group, but, you know, the idea you sort of subdivided this into buses, and each bus had a guide in there. And I think some people see that, and they think, oh, that's just magical that, you know, this bus appeared, and happens to be a guy that aren't this very good at what he does, and their security, and we're all everybody's comfortable, and the bags all get where they're supposed to go, and all this. But being in a technical business where we have to sometimes arrange industrial processes to work like they're supposed to work, I do appreciate the behind the scenes work to make those things appear smooth and appear frictionless, when I know for a fact they're not. There had to be a lot of pre-work and planning to make all that happen.
Well, and I got to tell you, it's part you control what you can control, and there's certain things always that you can't control. I mean, the amazement thing to me was, and again, I'm the one that's sitting at the airport and everybody comes in and meeting what was 300 people coming in on a variety of different flights with a variety of different airlines, and I couldn't believe that of all of those of all those people with all those mirrored bags, that the airlines actually only were delayed in 7 bags. I tell you what, that's pretty amazing. And everybody's bag was there within 48 hours of arrival. So all in all, I think that's pretty good statistics for the airlines. And we're not always on the same page, but I think they did an incredible job of getting y'all there and getting you back home.
I think they did, too. I'd been to Europe, actually, a few weeks before, and we were over there for a couple of weeks. And coming back, my bags did not get back when we did. It was 4 days later the bag showed up coming back, so I was sort of actually thinking of that as we were planning this trip to Israel and Jordan, the idea that okay, we sort of anticipated, okay, what happens if a bag doesn't show up? What are we going to need to stick in our carry-on that we can live with and let the rest of the stuff go a day or two if we have to? And I think, again, that's
exactly
part of this.
And that is one of those travel tips that makes the difference.
Yep, exactly. You know, we talk, after the break, I want to talk to you more about this. We talk very often here on our program with a variety of business people, and we talk about the need to adjust your business to the realities of today's market. And I don't know, you guys are in a little different niche of travel than I guess I'm accustomed to talking with, but I don't know of an industry that's been affected by the internet more than it has affected the travel agency industry. That is a big change has happened. And we'll talk about the more after the break. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business, talking with Bill Hare with TravelLink. Back in a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. So if you missed the program, check us there. Also, links to Bill and his company, TravelLink, will be on eddiemayfield.com. Check us out there. Bill, by the way, give us right quick, what is your web address? Give us that right fast.
It's www.travellink.com. TravelInk.com.
Yeah, one L. I got messed up hunting it one time. Yeah, good deal. Bill, how did you get into you've been in the business a long time. How did you get into it?
Well, it was much by chance, and in my particular way, I'd say by grace. Luckily, I was doing a lot of things with Singles Ministries way back in early in my career, and we did a lot of travel with single adults back in that point in time. And what it began was an offhanded comment by a gentleman by the name of Ed Sebo, who actually said, "Wouldn't it be interesting to have somebody like Bill working for us?" And I called him back the next Monday and said, "Well, that's something you just say nice at breakfast, or is that something you really meant?" And from there, I began working with him, and then he came over and worked with our company when we began. And so literally it was a matter of doing just what I would say is just opening some doors that able to walk in and began this. And then back when we started our company, particularly, one of my great friends and his brother, both of which had manufacturing concerns, I said, "You know what? I think it's time to look at starting this business now." And I asked them to come in and talk to me a little bit. And my master's in the humanities department. Theirs is in the they have a master's of business administration. And reality is that the travel business is an economic business, and it's about a lot of transactions put together to make it work.
Right.
And so that really began what we did, and almost immediately thereafter, commissions were cut in our industry from the airlines. But we've always treated this like a business, and we have always worked very, very hard at making sure that our customers and our employees were king, because we felt like the rewards would come to us, and they really have, because of what those frontline people and what our customers get from us. So honestly, we affiliated with American Express. We had, like everybody in the world, significant problems with the downturn. But, you know, we saw that coming fairly early in our business and made some hard choices. But actually, our staff is larger today than it's ever been. And we just feel very blessed to have had all that we've had happen to our company in the myriad of ways that we've touched a lot of people.
I love hearing stories like that, because when you were a little boy, a little bill running around, you did not plan on a career in the travel business. That's not something that was... You didn't tell your mom that when you were playing with trucks.
No, but I would tell you that I remember, and a lot of your listeners will remember this, getting loaded up the car and for summer vacation and driving out and staying maybe at a Holiday Inn, which is what we stayed at back then, so we had the pool that night to get all that excess energy of young boys out of the way with me and my brother.
Hey, right before the break, I was sort of teasing, we're going to the internet has really changed the travel business. Bill, when I first opened my business here in 1988, I was doing a lot of traveling, almost all of it domestically, not all, but most of it domestically, for clients, you know, doing service work. And I had an agency here in town because there was no internet back then. And you know, I'd need to go to Des Moines, Iowa or something, you know. So I would call the agency and say, I need a ticket to Des Moines, Iowa. And then they would either bring it by or I'd go get it. And then, you know, while I'm out of town, I'd get a call. I need to go the day after I got back from Des Moines. I needed to go to Phoenix. And so I would do, you know, that's the way I did it. And I'd call them and they'd just bring tickets to me. And you know, that all changed some years ago. We haven't done that in a long time now. I use agencies for, like, we've had them do some meetings for us and for international, very involved international trips where we're doing one thing or another like that, and you know, extended vacations and sort of where it gets kind of complicated. But I know you've bound to see that where your average person just goes online and buys a ticket online these days.
Well, they do. And what I would tell you is I think that, again, when we saw this part of the industry changing, and our industry has changed a lot, and it's become a lot more visible all the way across the board. But, for instance, I think ourselves and anybody else, and I'm a member, we're a member of the American Society for Travel Agents, based in D.C., and the reality is that there's still a lot of us out there, and everybody, when you tell them you work for or you own a travel agency, they look at you like, are you still around? And I'm like, well, every time you book online, unless you go directly to the airline site, you're booking with a travel agent.
Right.
Whether it be online or, and so we have that component to our business, and it's a particular way to fulfill for a certain customer that's out there. But we also do a lot of what I'm going to call people calling in to us who still want to deal with a human being who knows something about destinations and where they're going. And quite honestly, particularly as we move to overseas travel, who can ferret out the different rules and sometimes right. come up with a fairly significant discount. So from my side, what we did was we never said, this is going to put us out of business. We're like, how do you adapt to make it work for you? And that's what we've done with our customers.
That is the mark, I think, of a successful business in any industry. I mean, I don't know of travel has been affected probably perhaps more than the travel industry, I should say, affected perhaps more than some other industries by the internet. But all industries change over time, and whether it's my business or I'll tell you, the radio station, the radio business is very different than it was a few years ago. The recording industry, like where you live in Nashville there, and you know, that's changed dramatically. You can buy things at home now that you used to could only find in a multi-million dollar recording studio. You can buy this stuff at home now.
That's right. And in banking, you know, I talk to the bankers that are out there. They're going through the same thing.
Yes.
There's no industry in my mind that's not been affected by what you can do on the internet. But part of it is a commitment, I think, on all of our part to have the best people possible to talk, in our case, the customers that are coming in order to give them the best possible customer experience, because we still believe that makes a difference. And so all of our agents across the country, our associates are basically from California to New York. It's a matter of how do you take care of that customer in a different kind of way than you can, because we don't control the airline. We don't control the car rental company. We don't control that hotel. What we control is how we try to deliver our product, and that is the myriad of details that go into that, whether it's for corporate, leisure, or meetings or groups.
I think, again, that's true in every industry. We've had customers. I've told a story very often. We, at our company, a number of years ago, it started with just me, and then we began to grow, and then have employees, and the customer service side of it, where I thought we were doing a great job, I actually began to measure it and find out we were not, and we had to make a lot of changes. And I've attributed our success since those days over the years to the fact that, again, we put customer service first. You know, I'm in a very different industry than you're in. We're in the electronic motor drive business, which is a niche little business that no one knows anything about unless you're in it. But, you know, we're one of the top rated in the country in terms of customer service, and that didn't happen by accident. And I'm going to talk to you more about that after the break. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is Bill Hare with Travel Link. Back in just a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Business Radio, Biz 1190. By the way, streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. Glad you're here. We're talking with Bill Hare with Travel Link. Right before the break, Bill was talking to us about the importance of customer service. Bill, that is that's such a recurring theme here on our program, and here really in any business environment that I'm in, is the idea that the difference really is customer service. And I'll just say this from having dealt with your company firsthand in this, and some of your folks, they are very, very friendly and helpful on the phone. And as you well know, that is not always the case when you call a company. You don't always get that feeling when you call somebody that the person on the other end is actually paying attention to you and actually is trying to do their best to help you. How do you train your people to do that?
Well, it's interesting. I'm going to talk about what we do now, because I think we have always had a philosophy here among the people that work with us that if you'll take care of the customer, we're going to take care of you. And so I do think there has to be this sense that the company's going to step up, and that as you succeed with our customers, that we're going to take care of you.
Right.
But on the front line, what we've done most recently in the last 18 months, I'm going back to what you were saying about adapting your culture, and as we've grown, we've seen some chinks in the armor, but I think what we find that we have to do is that actually our leadership group, which meets every Tuesday morning for a couple hours to go over strategies and what's going on in different departments, that basically as we talk through that, we're actually listening to our frontline people now. And we're listening to those calls, and then their management level is also listening to those calls. Each of us rank those calls independently of the other. And what happens is then that we are then feeding back to either directly the employees or within conceptual nature of things that we think need to be addressed by what we are hearing, or in cases not hearing on that. And so I think, I don't think you ever get there. We were having this conversation last week. I think you always have to work on it.
Right.
And just as soon as you think you've arrived, that's when you better be careful, because you're going to fall back. So I think for us, it's a matter of making it intentional from the ownership group. And it's myself and my business partner that are two of the three that are managing partners in this business. And as we are maniacally focused on trying to make sure that the customer experience is everything that we want it to be, and we can be pretty hard to please, to be honest with you, because we know those calls that you get, and we know the people that don't care. Our industry has a real struggle right now in finding those people that are wanting to be in our industry, and I think that what has been said out in the field is that the travel agents were going to die. Well, what I'm here to tell you is we are bringing people into this industry every day, and we're looking for people that know how to give customer service. And this is my recruitment for our entire industry. If you want to, again, I don't know that you're going to get rich being a travel agent, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to make a pretty good living. And in these days and times, it sure does beat some places where all you're doing is stocking shelves, et cetera. Literally for us, we're seeing that wages are somewhere in the mid-30s to the mid-50s for a travel agent with both experience and with a good idea of customer service. And honestly, we don't think this industry, we're trying to get out there and tell people this is a great industry to be a part of.
That's good to hear you say that. You don't hear a lot of people that really promote their industry that way. I'm glad to hear you say that. That's a very encouraging thing to tell anybody, because you may be right. People are probably looking past that industry as being something that you know is passé now or something. But you're right. The whole point. And the other thing I really appreciate you saying, I often think about, you may have read some of Jim Collins' stuff. He has a book called How the Mighty Fall, and he said the first step in a company's failure is hubris or arrogance, you should say, born of success. In other words, and I think what you were saying was that you never arrive there in terms of customer service. That's something we've had to tell ourselves, that we have to go in, even in our company, go in and spin that wheel again and again and again, because it does, of its own inertia, just start slowing down. You can't ever relax in that area and think that that you own a customer or that you own some niche of a business. There are many, many people have learned to their great shock that they don't own a customer. That you know, if you don't take care of the customer, they will go somewhere else. They have a choice.
They do. And I think the other thing is, and I'm sure you've done it in your businesses, it's about reinventing yourselves.
Right.
Continually looking at what you thought you couldn't do and say, how can we do it? I think you know, because you experienced it. We do a lot of automation as far as registering online and, you know, phone prompts, et cetera. But what we see that doing is allowing our frontline people to be as engaged as they can ever be with a customer. And I'm really pleased when you said earlier that you felt that, you know, you listen to calls, but you really hardly ever get that feedback. But the group that we were with over in the Holy Lands, honestly, that's the feedback that we get from what I think is a very talented staff.
You did a great job. No question about that. Let me ask you a question just about the business in general. Many of us that fly now, and you probably fly more than I do, but without criticizing any particular airline or anything, air travel can be a little trying these days. Can be a lot trying these days, as a matter of fact. Bill, is that going to ever improve? Is this the new norms? Is that how it is?
Yeah, I think in general that as we look at it from outside, is that what's happening is capacity has been cut. The mergers that we predicted 10 years ago now have, for the most part, I think, happened. And I think that the airline industry is in the best economic shape that it's ever been in. And has been historically a very cyclical industry. I think they position themselves well for any sort of downturn economically that's going to happen. I think that unless you're of the top echelon in any airline, that I think the frontline people try to do the best they can within the parameters of the rules that they've been given to work. But quite honestly now, the decision-making power of that frontline person, I bet you travel, go back to the travel, and some of your listeners do, to the day when if you dress right and you look pretty, you might get upgraded to first class.
Exactly.
That's not going to happen these
exactly.
days. Just not going to happen. Because the rules are set on who they're going to bring up to the front, and you have very little power on the frontline agent to make any exception to that rules. And somebody else is looking behind them to go, why did that one get picked? So you have to be very careful. You know, it's like the extra baggage fees. It's like the seating and everything else that we go through today. Honestly, the airlines... And from an economic model have decided they're going to make money and they are going to be solvent and they're going to make it into the future. For those of us that have been used to flying a long time, it comes off sometimes as harsh, but I think it's all about the rules.
Yeah, I think you're right. Talking to another guy actually in Israel about this, who is about my age, and we both remember traveling back in the day when you used to actually dress up to travel. You talked about show up looking nice. You know, it used to be that I would put a coat and tie on the travel. It just was the way we did it. And those days are sort of gone now.
Well, if people have shoes on, you feel lucky these
days. That's a good point. Or yeah, we're flying in gym shorts or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
To get that going. Hey, is there for your clients, because you guys are so widespread, is there an ideal demographic of a traveling client, or are you all over the place with that?
I think there's a bit that I would say the middle of the bell curve is those that are looking to be serviced, and I think those that are looking for us to be advisors.
Right.
That, I think the order-taking days are handled very nicely by the Internet. But I do think that it's a matter of our ideal client wants to be serviced. They want to feel like we have gone the second mile. And I think to keep people out of harm's way as much as we can. And let me give you a for instance on this, and you probably experienced it. We always suggest when you're flying out internationally, don't take that quick connection from domestic to international.
Right.
Put in 2 to 4 hours.
Absolutely.
And maybe even 6. I mean, you may have gotten one of those 6-hour ones.
It wasn't that long, but it was long. But still, and it was needed.
but the reality is, if your vacation starts when you leave home, or if your business trip starts when you leave home, don't put yourself under the pressure. Because these days, as the flights are so full, and that way you got a little breathing room. You know, sit in the corner and do some work, or in the lounge if you have that access, and take the pressure off of you. It'll make your experience a whole lot better.
I have always been, I do, you know, only if you remember back before O.J. Simpson got more famous for being involved in criminal activity. Remember we used to call it doing an O.J. through an airport, because remember, we used to pictures of O.J. running through airports, and that was sort of a term we all used. I wanted to be that guy running through an airport. I always wanted to be the guy leisurely going. I'd much rather be at the gate and sit there an hour than to run in there at the last minute and climb on the plane. It's just a level of stress I'm not interested in being involved in.
Did you see the, we'll digress just a second here, did you see the picture of the guy that actually went through the security gate and chased the airplane because he was late for a reunion?
No.
You ought to Google that one because it's kind of fun.
I don't think I care about that. I'll tell you one thing that did happen to us here in Atlanta one time. We got to here late, and an agency had done the ticket for us, and they put me on the wrong plane, and I was sitting there getting ready. I was supposed to be going to San Jose Costa Rica, and I was instead on a plane to San Juan, and I actually had to make them open the door and let me off the plane. It's kind of embarrassing, but that's just what happened. I got on the wrong plane.
You're listening. Well, listen, anytime, though, you're wanting to get off the plane on your own volition as opposed to TSA coming on to get you, you're in good shape.
Yeah. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. One more segment to come. We're talking with Bill Hare. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the last segment of today's Driven New Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. We're talking with Bill Hare with Travel Link. And again, that's TRAVELINK, Bill.
INK.
Travel Inc., just one L in there, .com, and get him there. Bill, we talk a lot here on the program, and I have with many other people, about customer expectations. And you and I have kind of talked about that a little bit as we go along now, especially, and this is true in our business, so true in our business, people want almost instant answers. You know, the day of telling somebody, I'll send you a letter about that, or I'll send it to you in the mail or something, people are seemingly a lot more impatient about that. I don't know where to blame it on, the remote control in our TVs or smartphones or what, but how have you guys adapted to that?
Well, I'll tell you how I've adapted to it. I'm not sure that all of us do the same thing within the organization. My standard response, I can give you an answer immediately, but it may not be the best or the most cost-effective answer that I can give you. So for me, it's always a matter of let me set the parameter. I've always said to people, I make anything happen. The question is, do you have a pocketbook for me to make it happen? And I do think it's a matter of trying to get to a person and get their expectation of what they're really looking for. And we talk a lot about this with every one of our clients, is what is the most important factor? And I'm going to tell you, in this day and time, the cost is somewhere in that mix.
Oh, yeah.
Of the first three. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've all been affected by eBay, I think, where we're all seeing the lowest price. And you know, as you know, in the travel business, you see ads all the time. Oh, come to this site, and we'll have the absolute cheapest airline. You know, you got Kayak and all these things that compare different sites to give you the best prices. And, yeah, I think we all are sort of in that regard. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I'm different or not. If I'm traveling for business and traveling alone, I have a little bit of a different expectation than if I'm traveling for leisure with my wife. I want you to pay a little more for a better schedule, or I've even done crazy things like get on a different flight that's not so crowded, when I'll actually look at the flight and see every seat sold out in this flight. And I look at the one 2 hours later and see, oh, that plane's only half full. I'll tell the, if I'm using an agent, hey, put me on that flight. Let me be on the one that's about half full, which is getting rare and more and more rare these days. But you think that's uncommon? Am I uncommon in that regard?
No, I think most of the public look at a lot of different sites and trying to figure out what the most effective things to do. I would also tell you, though, sometimes there are value adds that we can bring in.
Right.
Maybe an upgrade, or it may be a free breakfast, or it may be a breakfast. I think our industry has been really bad about talking about, you know, free two cabin upgrades, or free for a cruise, or a free breakfast. Nothing's free.
Right.
It's
exactly.
All been calculated.
Exactly.
The price. Right?
Exactly. Well, of course that's right.
You know, I mean, so I think we've used the language, and I think what I tend to find with all of my clients is that when you're and again, this is part of my nature with the people that I've dealt with over the years and even knew. I had somebody talk to me the other night at a reception and said, well, maybe you can help our church with going down to Brazil. And I said, well, I'm glad to look at it with my team and see what we can do. But if I can't do it, I'm going to tell you I can't do it. Because he would rather me tell him I can't do it
exactly
as cheaply as what he's done than for me to try to go to shave a nickel with somebody that he's used in the past. And I think our industry, I would tell you that we want every piece of business that we can do. But you know what? We believe in the survival of this travel business. And with our trade association and the people that we work with, and we're with colleagues all the time, time. You know, there's enough business to go around for all of us. What I want to do is to make sure that you use somebody that you trust. And there's a lot of us people in the travel business that you can trust out there, and they'll do exactly what they say they can do. And so this is our passion for our industry, because we've been through what we talked about earlier in this in the interview was, you know what? We have to survive as an industry, and you as a consumer and the consumers out there really must push, because we are your unbiased factor in looking at all your different options.
Right.
And when you start going to one place or another without looking at all the myriad of options, you eventually are going to pay more.
You know, a couple of years ago, a fairly involved business slash pleasure trip to Europe. I have a couple of clients over we had to visit, and so I mixed it in with a few things. And I actually started to do this by myself, and I was looking on the internet. I quickly came to the conclusion that this was a little too nerve-wracking for me. I didn't know, like, you know, if you rent a car, can you drive it from Austria to Germany? And if so, what does that mean? And what do you have to do and all this? And would it be better to take a train, better to take a bus? Would it be, you know, where should you fly into? I just decided I had no clue what I was doing. So we ended up using an agent that really was very helpful in that regard. And I think that's the kind of thing that an agent does, that a travel company does bring expertise that I just didn't have. And even somebody that travels a fair amount, you just start thinking, I'm out of my area of expertise here, and I really would like to be talking to somebody that I think knows what they're doing to advise me, and I just, you know, here, take this ball of wax and run with it and help me out. This is the way we start.
Well, yeah, and I think that's exactly right. And I think, you know, everybody is, if you talk about travel, everybody's an expert in travel, whether they are or not.
Right.
Because if you have a conversation, they'll relate all these experiences to you. As we live and breathe it every day, we think there's some things that the consumer just needs to be aware of, and there's some different places you can shop that will get you to the right place to maximize whatever value that you want to do and whatever product level you want, because there's a lot of product levels. And so I think there again that what we tried to be is your unbiased place to look at what will fulfill you and your wife, you and your business, or whatever other need that you can do. Because again, for us, you just want to, I think we're in a pleasing business.
You are.
Travel.
Yeah.
For those of us that are really committed to it. And those are the experiences that we want you to talk about when you come home.
Is there anything new in about a minute here, Bill, in the travel industry that we should know about? You see any changes coming down the pike?
Well, I think we're a pretty regulated industry here, and we are always concerned, as our trade association is, for as full transparency as they can. And from our side of the industry, that you can book from us in an unbiased way and get the same amenities as you can get anywhere else.
Right.
And so I think that for us is where our big legislative push is, but for us and the customer to just try to be sure that we're able to find you the value that you want. And it may be your frequent flyer that you have all these vast miles with, but at the same point in time, sometimes that deal really isn't a deal at all.
No, my experience is
not.
We're
the ones that can give you that unbiased sort of nature of those deals that are out there.
Yeah, I may be different than most people. I'm kind of done on this frequent flyer thing. That's
really?
that never works like it says, or it doesn't with me. In terms, you know, you have these miles and you try to use them. It's like, oh, there's no flights for that, and so forth. So it's like, never mind.
Well, it is a bit of a game.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been a great guest today. Just in about 30 seconds here, what's important to you outside of business? How do you want to be remembered? And I know that's a hard question to give somebody 30 seconds on, but.
You know, I'd like for my friends, my colleagues, and my customers to say, he always tried to do his best.
I think none of us can do any better than that. Bill, you've been a great guest. Thank you for being on the program today.
Hey, thank you.
And I look forward to traveling with you again. You've been talking with Bill Hare with Travel Inc. Again, that's Travel T.
Travel Inc.
TravelInc.com. Just go there, 1L, TravelInc.com. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock here on Atlanta's Biz 1190. And we're streaming live and podcasting on EddieMayfield.com. See you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit EddieMayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.